I'll just do a 1 minute of connection. Good evening, our very excited ladies and gentlemen. It gives me great pleasure, great honour for us, in the name of the evening base and Mary Israel, to welcome Rabbi Heschel Schechter to our base of Medrash. Rabbi Schechter has been giving shiurim back to back, I think, in the last 48 hours here in London, and we are very, very honoured that you found time to come and speak to us this evening. I was just thinking, as I was coming here, I'll just mention this very briefly, because I know the Rabbi Schechter will be speaking a bit about parsha themes, is that correct, I believe? It's curious just to realise that at the snare, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses Moshe Rabbeinu, he calls him Moshe, Moshe. And Chazal reflect on this fact that, in fact, Moshe was, of course, not the name that his parents gave him when he was born. We don't know. The Torah doesn't tell us exactly the name that he was given when he was born. Chazal have various different suggestions. The most famous is maybe Tuvia and Avigdor. There's a whole list, isn't there, in Chazal, of possible names that Moshe Rabbeinu was given, but his parents were Gedoli Yisrael, and surely Vikari Shmo Yisrael and his bris, they gave him a name, and yet when HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls him to be Moshiach Shel Yisrael, he gives him the name that was given to him by Basi or Bas Parai. And Chazal reflect on the fact that this was Kamo Godol Maise Chesed, that a chesed done by this non-Jewish woman, Bas Parai, that was so powerful that it changed the identity of Moshe Rabbeinu. And for the whole of the Torah and for the whole of Jewish history, it's Teiras Moshe, even though Moshe is the name that he was given on these at this particular moment. And from the very first moment that he is called to be Mashiach Shel Yisrael, this is his identity, and he is, in a sense, his whole... In a sense, it's a siman, I think, for Moshe Rabbeinu, that he's called upon, that in a sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to him, you wouldn't exist without the chesed of strangers. You wouldn't live at all were it not for the chesed of other people, and that's calling upon him to be Moshe Nefesh, to lead and save Klal Yisrael. And in a sense, it was the ultimate calling. It was the calling from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which, in a sense, all of us experience at one point or another in our lives. We're called upon to go the extra mile for Klal Yisrael, to devote our lives both to Torah and to building up Klal Yisrael. And this is really, I think, possibly a theme that we see from the choice of the name of Moshe Rabbeinu and the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give him by using that name. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome Rabbi Schechter and ask Rabbi Schechter to be mechabed us with his Divrei Torah.
In the opening pasuk, the pasuk is written in the present. Where the Shmos Bnei Yisrael Haboyim Mitzrayma. By the time the Chumash was written, it had already come way before. Why is it written in the Hove? So Rav Soloveitchik has an essay in one of his published collections of essays that the whole survival of the Jewish people who live in Chutz Lortz is because they don't live their kavua. Like when Paro meets Acha Yosef, so they say, Loga Baretz Banu, Kemir Latzal Hashem Labadach, Kechadet Harab, the Eretz Kinoan, so we say in the Haggadah, Loga Baretz Banu, Malamed, Shaloy Ored Yankiv, Lishtakev, and Mitzrayim, Malaloga, we only went to live there temporarily. The Jews always have to have in mind that we're going to move back to Eretz Yisrael. We have to always keep in mind we're only here temporarily. So that's Rav Soloveitchik suggested. Maybe that's Pshat HaBoy Mitzrayma. Every day for 210 years that they lived there, they felt we just came. We're foreigners. We're just visiting here. We don't belong here. The Sefer Hasidim has a statement that it's not proper to build a brick house when I go to Flatbush, a borough pump. They have gigantic mansions. The wealthy Jews built, if you buy a brick house, a different story. But the Sefer Chassidim said, you shouldn't build a brick house. You demonstrate that you plan to live here, kavua. But the Knesset's about the Midrash, or Allah see them, he called there, so that you can build the brick, whatever you want. But private homes, that's not right. The Jewish people should only, always keep in mind, we're only here temporarily. We don't belong here. We really all belong in Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk continues that Yaakov Malach Harosham and Simon Shalom Yodas Yosef. How can it be Yodas Yosef? He didn't know history. Everybody knew about Yosef. So the Mefarshim said the Gemara has not Yodas Yosef. It's a kemachnish vissendik. He made believe that he didn't know. He wasn't makatayvet to the Jewish people, even though the Jewish people Yosef had saved the whole Middle East at that time, saved the whole world. So there is a medrash that puts together when Moshe and Aaron come to Paro, he says, Lo yadayti es Hashem. He says, Lo yadayti es Hashem, because Lo yodes Yosef. If a person has a sense of Hakoras HaTov, he has that midat of Hakoras HaTov, this will be mechazik his emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam. If a person doesn't have a midat of Hakoras HaTov in Adam HaChavero, then he's going to forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is invisible, so it's easy to forget about him. Chavis HaLavavis speaks about how important it is, the midat of Hakoras HaTov, because that keeps within us the emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a Gemara in Brachas, and the end of Brachas, the Gemara has, if you have a farm in Eretz Yisrael and it rains, and you really needed rain, so then when it rains, so you say, Nishmas kachay tevorcha shimcha, you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the matana teva of the rain. So the Gemara has a machlokes, what is the text of the Nusach HaBracha? Of Nishmas kachay. Chayyotin quotes from the Vilna Gaon that the Bracha, on the weekdays, if you have to wear bridge psukah de zimmer, so you say, Baruch Shama Asher Yishtabach. It's a very bad thing that the teachers taught us that in elementary school, so everybody comes to show late. They start right away, Baruch Shama Asher Yishtabach. But so the Chayyadim says that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, if you can't streamline it like that, you have to say, Baruch Shama Asher Nishmas Tu Yishtabach. Because on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the bracha begins with Nishmas Kol Chai, and he quotes the Mishnah in the end of Psochim, that's called Birchas Hashir. Apparently the bracha begins from Nishmas Kol Chai. So the Gemara has a machlokes, what should the nusach be? So one opinion in the Gemara, we should say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mehulal b'rov ha'tishbachos. He is praised with the majority of the praises. Then the Eftah Mora says, why only the majority, why not call out tishbachos? So the other disagrees, no, they call out tishbachos. So then there are two girsas in the Gemara. So the Ashkenaz, there's Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Svarad in Nishmas Kol Chai. So Nusach Ashkenaz is based on the Girsa of the Ashkenazi Rishonim and the Gemara, that I think it's Rapapa says they're both a good idea, Hilchach Namrinu L'Travayit. We should say both. So Nusach Ashkenaz we say Mehulah B'Rayf HaTishbachos, and we say Mehulah B'Tishbachos. At the end you don't say, you leave out the Rayf, so we say both. And Nusach Svarad doesn't have that Hilchach Namrinu L'Travayit. So their gear says that you don't say mehula b'chalat tishbachas. You don't say ron hatishbachas. So according to the Nusach Ashkenaz, that you say both, so taka doesn't make any sense. Why should you only praise? Why hilchach neminu l'travayi? Why should you say both? It doesn't make sense. So the Ramban in the Melchamis there says that the word b'roif hatishbachas doesn't mean the majority of tishbachas. 55%. Berav means biribay hatishbachas, a multitude of tishbachas. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, no, maybe it means berav hatishbachas, that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want us to reserve all of the praise for him. He wants us to maintain some of the hakoras hatov to human beings. That we're not going to express hakoras hatov to human beings. We'll only express gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're going to forget about him. The only way that you can lead to be mechazik amun and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by developing the sense of HaKadosh HaTov to Abbas of Adam, like this Medrash says. Shelo Yadas Yosef. The Medrash says the same by Adam Arishan, that the Migdal Bavel, they were building Vayered Hashem Liras Amir Lashabana B'nei HaAdam. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, because of Gadaitach B'nei HaMoirim, because they human beings who built the Migdal, they weren't famous. Bona B'nei HaAdam means the descendants of Adam HaRishon. That Adam HaRishon, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronts him, did he eat from the Eitz HaDas? So instead of expressing gratitude that Ribbono Shel Olam created Chava for him, so he's angry. He says, Ho'isha Hashem Asati Imad, he nasnan imaychad. The witch of a wife that you gave me, she's the one who made me eat from the Eitz HaDas. What do you mean? He should have said, thank you for giving me a wife. He pins the blame on his wife. So because he lacked HaKadosh HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what led to the kfirah. His descendants later are prepared to make a migdal. Shabbat b'nei ha'adam, they wanted to go up, to climb up to heaven, and to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That it's HaKadosh HaTov that leads a person to emunah. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that there is a Gemara, I think in the end of HaChayvel, the Gemara has an expression that there's a popular statement, Chamer Lamara, the wine is paid for by the Balasimcha B'tivusa L'shakir. When you go to a wedding, so the Balei Simcha, the Mechutanim, pay for the wine, they pay for the waiters, they tip the waiter, everything is covered. But then when the waiter pours the wine, so they say thank you to the waiter. Why do you thank you to the waiter? The wine is paid for and his services are paid for and you got a tip also. Everything is paid for. So why do you say thank you? So the answer is, if you only say thank you when the person really deserves it, so the husband will never thank his wife for the food that she cooks or raising the children. I get my paycheck, I give it to my wife. She buys another pair of shoes and another pocketbook and another dress and another hat and another shekel. I give her all the money. She's not going to thank me for giving the money. She gives me the food, she raises my children. I won't thank the president of the yeshiva who pays me my salary. Where can he get such a magachir like me for such a small salary that he gives me? He's not going to thank me because he's paying me a salary. No one's going to thank anybody. The balabas will never thank the worker. The worker never thank the balabas. The husband of mine, no one will ever thank anybody. Everything, there's always reciprocity, so no one will thank anybody. So that's what the Chazal say, Chamra Lamora, the wine is paid for by the Mechutanim, by the Balei Simcha, but Tivusa V'Shaker, you have to say thank you to the waiter. You have to say thank you to the one who gives you the immediate pleasure. If you're not going to say thank you to the boss of Adam, then we're going to forget, we'll lack our Koras HaDayv, and we'll simply forget about the Rebbeinu because he is invisible. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. That's why Hilchot Nemir Litrav, I'm saying, Mulo Berayv HaTishbachas, the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't want us to reserve all of the Tishbachas there. He wants to save some of the tishbachas for Basav Adam also, even though basically all the tishbachas go to him. By Basav Adam, everything is reciprocal. I don't have to thank the boss, but not to thank me. But the Rebbeinu Shlom wants us to give Hakoras HaTov to human beings as well, even if they don't deserve it. We should ingrain in ourselves the attitude, the notion of Hakoras HaTov, that there should be mechazik the emunah in the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maharsha has a famous comment, why Paro wanted Shifra Vapua, the Mialda, so Ivrios, why did he want the Jewish women to kill the Jewish babies? Why didn't he have the Egyptian women? So he said, the Maharsha in Sanhedrin has a famous comment, that Anochri is Chayv al Ha'ubrin, if a non-Jew causes an abortion, he's Chayv Misa. Anochri is Chayv Misa if he violates any one of the Shevi Mitzvah, Anochri is Chayv Misa if he steals Pachas Meshav Pruta. Also, so but by Jews, if they kill the Nubi, not Chai Misa, so the Avera is, so to speak, less. It's not really less. A Goy is Chai Misa for its Zichah. Jew is not Chai Misa for its Zichah. It doesn't mean the Isser is less, but that's what the Marshal suggests. That because by Jews, the Isser is less, because it's not punishable by them. So that's what Paro requested, that the Shifra would pour the Jewish Mialdus or Ivrios should kill the babies before they're born. Let's talk at the din of abortion. What's the severity of the issue? So there's an encyclopedia that's called Stechemed. Stechemed was a Sephardi who was born, I think, in Hebron, in Eretz Yisrael, and then he got a Rabbanis somewhere in Russia, in Uzbekistan or something. They didn't know what was going on over there. He said, this is the Minigam Malkam, and he started corresponding with the Netziver, Rav Shlomo Levilner, and all the Rabbanim in Europe to find out whether they're pulling his leg or these minhagim really existed. So he had much of his encyclopedia consist of the correspondence that he had with all the gedolim in his generation to ascertain whether the minhagim that they had in his community are acceptable or not. And then he put it approximately in alphabetical order, Aleph base, within the letter Aleph. I think it starts with Eretz Yisrael. That's not the way we'd make an encyclopedia, we wouldn't start with Eretz Yisrael, but everything under Aleph is an Aleph. Okay, it's not exactly an order. So he has under abortion, he discusses, of course, the three different opinions. So some hold it's a biblical prohibition, some hold it's only rabbinically forbidden, some hold that it's muta legamre. He says the more correct opinion is based on the Gemara that it's a biblical prohibition. It can't be, and he said the Rabbanu can't be muta, Rabbi Yaakov Emor hold that it's muta legamre. How can it be? So he says, the Gemara says, Mi'ika Midi, there is no such thing that Yisrael Shori L'Akamos. It can't be that for a Nochri it's forbidden and for a Jew it's Mutter. The Gemara says, if a Nochri kills, performs an abortion, he's Chayv Misa. Obviously, It's an aver for a nochin. So for a Jew, it must be an aver deraisa. It's only an aver derabbanan, or it's mutter, so it'll be in violation of that rule. So it's clearly an issa deraisa. But the big issue is, what's the nature of the issa? Is it an issa ritzicha, or is it an issa chavala? Let's say I have five fingers and I cut off a finger. That's an issa chavala. It's not ritzicha. I'm still alive, but it's an issa chavala. If I have six fingers and I cut off one finger in order to look normal, so that's permissible. That's cosmetic surgery. Okay. Surgery for tikkun haguf is mutter, and surgery for cosmetic purposes v'yisum is also mutter. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Chovel Amazik writes that the prohibition lo yosef ben yosef, you're not allowed to be chovel b'chaver, chovel b'yatzma, you're not allowed to mutilate the body, is only if you do derech. There are two girsus in the Rambam, either derech bizayon or derech nitzayon. Ki yinotzma anoshim. If they're fighting with each other and you harm someone, you do chavola. Derech nitzayon, and the fight that derech nitzayon to be mivase. If you do surgery for cosmetic purposes, so most ruba the ruba of the poskim hold that it's muta. It's neither derech nitzayon nor derech nitzayon. But if you cut off a finger for no good purpose, so that's an issa chavola. So that's the big question: how serious is the iser of abortion? It clearly is an issa deraisa. Has to be an issa deraisa. But the question is it an issa ritzicha? Just that you're not chayv nisa until the baby is born. How did the Gemara know that you're not chayv nisa? Also, Mr. Hema talks about that. The Gemara says that a nochri is chayv nisa if he kills it over. I'm performing abortion based on the pasuk in Parshas Noach. Shafech tam ha'odom, ba'odom dom yishafech. So the pshuta shal mikra, shafech tam ha'odom, one who murders a human being, ba'odom dom yishafech, he deserves misa's bezin. Bezin should punish him. And the Torah Shmal Peh has an additional level of interpretation in addition to the Pshuta Shal Mekra. Shafech tam ha'odam ba'odam. If you kill a person who's inside someone else's body, an Uber, Doma Yishafech, he's Chayim Misa. So how did the Chazal know, how did the Gemara know that only applies to Bnei Noach? Maybe it applies to Jewish people as well. The other psukim that appear there in Parshas Noach, Achaz dimchem anafshesech medrash, that a person is not allowed to commit suicide. That originally it says in Parshas Noach, we assume it applies to the Jews as well. So why shouldn't we assume that shefech tam ba'odam ba'odam, if you kill an uber, dam ba'ishaf and gechaymeh, maybe it should apply to Jews as well. How do they know? So the Stechemed quotes, because he had to correspond with the Shlomo Ladona, he a lot of times quotes letters, but he quotes a letter from Shlomo Ladona. He didn't have a Me'iri. The Me'iri says the same. He says, the Mokir is in the Parsha of the Mevelodis, in Parsha's Mishpatim. It says, if a person knocks over an Isha Hara, the Yotzu Yolodeho, the baby dies, so then you pay the Mevelodis. That's in Lo Yos, and if the woman doesn't die, only the Uber die, so then you pay the Mevelodis. But in Masan Yeh, then it's not the Nefesh, Tachas Nefesh. If the woman dies, then there's a principle of Kom Levi Dirai, you know? You don't pay the mevelodis. So why should it only depend if the woman dies, if the baby, if the uber dies? It could also be a kam lebe derab minei. So you see, obviously there's no chi of misa for killing an uber. The pasuk shafech tam ba'adam ba'adam only applies to Bnei Noach. It doesn't apply to Yisrael. Yeah, but still the question is, what's the nature of the prohibition? Is it an isa because of chavola? It's also the adam lachla. How come Bnei Noach achai misa, the chai misa for gezel also pachach mishav putz? So the chai misa, the chavol b'chavera also. Or should we assume that it's an Issa Ritzicha? So this is usually assumed to be a machlokes between the Rambam and all the regular Rishonim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses what's the din of a roidef. A roidef achachadera lahorga, someone is running with a gun to kill someone else, so you're permitted and obligated to shoot the roidef in order to save the life of the nirdef. Matzilim, Elisha Matzilim Osim Benavsham, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, that you're permitted and obligated to save the life of the nirdef by killing the roidef. So the Gemara has a shaila, what if the roidef is a katan? It's a kid before bar mitzvah, is he chayv misa or not? He's a la bar onshin, but this is not really an onish, this is in order to save the nirdef. So you're allowed to kill the katan. So the Gemara says, well, there's a Mishnah in Aholis that speaks about the mu'uberes, the woman is pregnant, she has a difficult pregnancy, if you leave everything the way it is, the woman is going to lose her life. So the Mishnah says, Kol Zman, that the Uber wasn't Hotzi Rosho, he's not yet Yalud. So then, Mechad Chemes Uber, he cut up the baby in order to save the life of the mother. And in the Hotzi Rosha, if the baby is born already, Hotzi Rosha is considered Leida, that's in Kala Tarakula, to determine when a person is a Yolud, when not, Benegeta, Tumas Yoledes, Benegeta, all the Dinim, Benegeta, the Bris, the Bilas, the Shabbos, Mila, the Shmini, so when is the eighth day? So we say Hotzi Rosha is considered Yolud. Hotzi Rosha is considered later because after the head comes out, the rest is smooth sailing. And Kivega writes there on Mishnah, so he quotes Achrayim, and what if it's not smooth sailing? Sometimes there's a complication, and the doctor, in order that the baby shouldn't die, has to cut open the woman and take out the baby. So then they don't say Hotzi Rosha is called Yolda. Only if it's after Hotzi Rosha, smooth sailing, then we say Hotzi Hatzosa Rosh, that's called the later. So the Gemara asked, how come you're allowed to kill the Uber if lo hotzi rosho, you're allowed to kill the Uber, but there's an isa to kill an Uber? So the Gemara says, isn't it because he's a roidev? Isn't it because he's a roidev? So then the Gemara says, no, if it's a roidev, then even if he is hotzi rosho, you should be able to kill him. So the Gemara says, no, the baby is not a roidev. That's mishamay hudakarakilo. That's a natural procedure. If a little kid is running around with a gun and he wants to shoot someone, the kid knows what he's doing. That's a roidev. The fetus. That's mishamay hudakarakilo. The Rambam writes, zeu tiva shalolam. That's a natural process. You can't call a baby, pasha pasha, you can't call a baby a roidev. So why is it if lo hotzi rosho? Why are you allowed to kill a Uber? So Rashi says, pasha pasha. That's most of the Rishonim seem like Rashi. The baby is not called a nefesh. Ein doich a nefesh, you're not allowed to kill one person to save another person's life. Even if it makes sense, let's say this person is holding by the sisa already. He's already half gone. He has one leg out already. So that's what all the hospitals all over the world, they declare brain dead, shut, and they take all the vital organs. If they wait till after the person dies, then the vital organs wouldn't be healthy, wouldn't help the other person. The cornea you can take after the person is dead, if you take it soon enough, but the vital organs don't help. You have to take while the person is still alive. So most of the poskim do not recognize brain death. They say you're killing one person, even though he doesn't have too much longer to live. He's in the middle of gesisa, but you ain't doch and nefesh bin pene nefesh. You're not allowed to kill a guy, says, even though he only has a few hours to go, you're not allowed to kill him in order to save someone else's life. So here, before the baby is born, the baby is not yet a nefesh. So the klal doesn't apply in dech nefesh mitnei nefesh. It means it's an isa chavola. Pashup shat kashu rashi. Just an isa chavola to kill a fetus. And the Rambam writes not so. The Rambam writes that when the baby is a lo hotzi rosho, the baby is considered a roidev. So all the mepharshim ask on the Rambam, but the Rambam writes if hotzi rosho, you're not allowed to kill him in dech nefesh nefesh because he's not considered a roidev. The Gemara says mishmayhu de karat fil. So the Rambam doesn't read straight. So that's Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Shulis, just because you have a kasha on the Rambam, you don't reject the Rambam. He writes, Avchaim Soloveitchik has a whole shtikul Torah on the Rambam, and whatever it is, the Rambam Shita has to be honored. So Rav Moshe is of the opinion that it's a real Issa Ritzicha. He follows the Rambam, that it's a real Issa Ritzicha to kill an Uber before it's born. Except that it's not punishable with the death penalty by Yisraelim. It's only Tinik Ben Yom, if the baby's born already. Hotzi Rosha, then it's Chai Misa. Before it's born, it's not Chai Misa. But the Dinim HaRoidev are different. One who's a Yolud has to do a Redif Midas. One who's not a Yolud, that's a different Din of Redif. Two different Dinim HaRoidev. Because the Rambam, Rabbi Sazama, and the same Rabbi Nozo quotes from our Chaim Soloveitchik of Pshat. The Rambam writes in the same place. It's not in the same place, it's the page before. The Rambam has first Hilchas Chovel Mazik. And then the next page is Hilchas Ratzeach Shmiras Nefesh. On the first page of Hilchas Ratzeach Shmiras Nefesh, he quotes this Mishnah in Aholus about Ubahotzi Rosha, Lohotzi Rosha. And the last page in Chayvel Amasik, the Rambam quotes a Gemara from the end of Bava Kama, Svina Shachosh Vela Heishover Mipnei Kovid Hamasui. They loaded down a boat with too much luggage, and there are passengers on the boat, and they realize the boat is going to sink, and everybody's going to lose their lives. So the Gemara says, you throw overboard some luggage. It's still ready to sink, so you throw overboard some more luggage. And the Rambam says, he quotes the Gemara, you don't have to pay for the damage that you throw overboard the luggage when you destroyed it, because the luggage has a din of eroides. Luggage has a din of eroides. It's not about that. So obviously, when you're not dealing with a human being, it's a different definition of right. Whatever is causing the sakana to the people has a status of rights. They have to throw over enough luggage, and you kill the raitiv, so you're not held responsible for anything, so you don't have to pay for the luggage. So the baby who's not born yet, so that has a din like raitiv of the luggage. That's how Rav Chaim said. That's one din of raitiv. After the baby's ready, hotzi rosh is a yalud, so then you need, in order to kill a person as a yalud, you have to have a real din of raitiv who's really doing a redifa. So the uber is mishamay hudakarafila. So that's how they're miyashiv the Rambam. So the Rambam holds that the issa to kill an uber is really, sounds for the Rambam, it's an issa with sikh, and the only happens because of the baby is considered a raitiv, and we have to come up with this chiddush, different two levels of a raitiv, by people who are born and by inanimate items, and the uber is like an inanimate item, has a different raitiv. And the regular mafarshim don't learn like the Rambam. The simple reading of the Gemara is that there is an issa deraisa and performing an abortion, but it's an issa chavala, it's not an issa v'tich. What would be the difference? The difference is what if the woman will continue with the pregnancy, it won't be a suffix sakana to the woman's life, but the woman will get weaker. She'll be weakened. She has so many babies, she'll be sick. It's going to be a sick baby. Tesak's baby, but I'll be a sick baby, she'll suffer for the rest of her life. So let's say a person has five fingers, and one finger is causing trouble. So they want to cut off her finger, the person will look awful, only have four fingers. But it's healthier to have only four fingers, it's healthier for the person. So there's no issa chavala. If you're doing it for medical purposes, there's no issa chavala. So what if you're doing an abortion for medical purposes? Oh, God, I remember. Last time I was in London, I was discussing one of the Rabbanim. There was a single girl who was going to Beis Yankov, and then the girl became pregnant. So if they were going to, they'd have to throw the girl out of Beis Yankov. The girl's family was not observant at all, and the girl probably would not be religious at all. So the shaila was, should they allow the girl to perform an abortion, and mahashvaig, and don't tell anybody about it, and try to erase her as an observant girl? But he said, no, you're not allowed to perform an abortion. So in that case, it was in the best interest of the girl. It's not like cutting off the fifth finger for no good purpose. There was good purpose. She'd be able to lead a normal life later on. So that's a big machlekes. So according to the Rambam, the only heter you have to perform an abortion is when the mother's life is in danger and the fetus has the status of a raitiv. And according to many of the Rishonim, it's really only an issa chavala. Whenever, for cosmetic purposes, we would allow chavala. So if a woman is pregnant, she just doesn't want to have a baby. So that's not a good reason. That's normal is that people have babies. But if having the baby is going to cause her to get weakened, to get sick, to suffer for the rest of her life, according to the other Rishonim, it would be mutter. So this is the question, how do you pass them? Rav Soloveitchik used to say, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, how can you paskin against the Rambam? How can a person take the responsibility to paskin against the Rambam? So there's a tshuva. The Lublina Rav has a tshuva. He used to be the Rav of Lublina, and that was the style then. The Rabbanim used to retire from Europe. They used to move to Yerushalayim. They joined the Eda Haredis. So he has in his tshuva, the Torah's chesed. He has two chalok, one chelik arachayim. The chelik arachayim usually has a Shabbos Avodot Pilpulim and Shabbos Shuvah Pilpulim. Usually on Rosh Hashanah, Pesach, Chametz, Mechiras, Chametz. And then he has chelik Avonezer. So he has the basic tshuva. In the Torah's chesed, he has the basic tshuva, two tshuvas, one after the other, about abortion. So he thinks perhaps that even the Rambam only holds that it's an issur tzichim where the woman is already Yoshva ala Mashba, the woman is already in labor. Before she's in labor, maybe the Rambam will also agree. Or maybe even the Rambam thinks before she's in labor, it's also an issur tzichim. Maybe it's only after the beginning of the ninth month. And the fetus is viable, if the baby will be born now, he will survive. But if it's willed way earlier, then for sure, maybe even the Rambam would agree. So that's the big shaila. The Tzitz Eliezer wrote the famous tshuva. So, but his tshuva was based on the Torah's chesed. Torah's chesed was Tzitz Eliezer was also a prominent rabbi. I remember once I visited. There was a OU had a Shabbaton in Rochester, New York. So there was a doctor there in Rochester who did his, I don't know, residency or something in Eretz Yisrael, and he got to meet, this was a long time ago, and he spent time with Reb Shlomo Zalman when he was in New York. So the there was a woman had converted, a woman is a Giyores, she converted, and she was very heavy, until she found a Shidduch, it took her a long time, then until she became pregnant, it took her a long time, and then finally she finds out that she's pregnant with a Tay-Sachs baby. So she wanted to perform an abortion. So the rabbi didn't know what to say. This was years ago. The rabbi didn't know what to say. So he called the doctor and he asked the doctor, could you please call Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach? He asked him. So the doctor calls Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach on the phone and tells him the story. The woman was a Gioris and she was overweight until she got a Shidduch and then until she became pregnant and now they found out Hoch Hadgadya. Reb Shlomo Zalman says to him in Hebrew, but you know my opinion, I don't agree with the Tzitz Eliezer. It's nothing to discuss. So the doctor says, he repeated again, but the girl is a Gioris, until she found the Shidduch, until she became pregnant, it was so difficult. Shlomo Zalman said, therefore what? Do you know my opinion? So the doctor says, but maybe you'll think it over overnight. I'll call you tomorrow. Yes. But Shlomo Zalman says, I don't know what there is to think. Call me back tomorrow. The doctor says, he calls him back the next day. He says, Tagid Leisha, Sheish Paisig Mefursim, Yerushalayim, the Tzitz Eliezer. He says, the woman is not a Talmud of mine, she's not mechuyav to listen to my stuff. Tell her the Tzitz Eliezer says it's mutter and shat. Not everybody is mechuyav to follow the more strict opinion. There are legitimate poskim who hold not so. That's abortion is a big issue. Abortion is a big shayla halacha l'maisa. When is it mutter, when is it awesome? The Pasuk says that the Melech Mitzrayim wanted the Shifra and Pua to perform abortion, but they didn't listen. They put their life in Sakonis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected them by Aslahem Batim. What do you mean by Aslahem Batim? So the Pasuk Pshat is he protected them. So Rashi quotes an interpretation from the Medrash that he rewarded Shifra and Pua that had Bati Kuhuna or Bati Leviya. That Shifra and Pua were Miriam and Yocheved, and they were blessed that their children were Kohanim and Levim. So what was the Mida Kenegad Mida over here? Why were they blessed? Because they were saving the lives of the babies. So there's a famous comment from Rebbe Soloveitchik that what's the din? So they wanted to kill only the baby boys. The baby girls didn't want to kill. If you have baby girls and they marry Mitzrayim, so the children will be Jewish. But they won't be Miyuchasim, they won't be Kohanim and Levim, because the Mishpacha Sav Kurim, Mishpacha Sav Meni Kurim, Mishpacha, the children will be Jewish, but they won't have any big yichas. So that's why Mida Kenegad Mida, they wanted to save the boys, that the children should be Miyuchasim as well. So they were rewarded, their schar was, that they were given, but the Kuhuna, but the Levia. That was the reward, the Mida Kenegad Mida. It's interesting. There is a... The Pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, but they were also Kitovu. What does it mean, Kitovu? So the one opinion in Medrash interprets that Kitovu means that Moshe Rabbeinu was Nolad Moho. He was born without any Orlo. They didn't have to do any Bris Milah on him. So there's a Tshuva Sefer that was written by Rab David Navardike that's called Galya Masechta. Gemara says in Erevin, that David HaMelech and Shaul HaMelech both gave public shiurim, and David HaMelech was successful. He was successful in his shiurim, and Shaul HaMelech was not successful. He was Shaul B'chol D'Racha Mashiach. He was not successful in giving shiurim. Why was David successful and Shaul HaMelech not successful? So the Gemara has a lashon because David was Galya Masechta, and Shaul was not Galya Masechta. What does that mean? So the different interpretations what it means. I think the Meiri has a pshat that David HaMelech gave Mar Mekaymus in advance so the Talmidim could prepare. So then when he said the Shia, there were Dingzach with him. So then they would come out, Aliba Demis. And Shaul HaMelech never gave Mar Mekaymus in advance, and no one could really Dingzach. They got away with all kinds of false terrors, so that's why it wasn't good. More of the story, I don't give Mar Mekaymus in advance. Right, so always gave Mar Mekaymus in advance. He used to give the Shia on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then he'd tell us everything to look up for next week. What he's going to cover, he's supposed to give Marma Kams, and that's how the Miri learned, whatever it means. So David was Galya Masechta. So this Rabbi David al Navardik was the Rabbi Navardik, and he thought that his Sefer is Gevaldik out of this world, so he called the Sefer Galya Masechta. So he was a contemporary of Rab Chaim Valojina. he had a sichsich with Rav Chaim Volozhin, and he thought that he had ba'avled him, and then later on he realized he had not ba'avled him, so Rav Chaim Volozhin passed away, so he delivered a glowing hesped in his honor. But part of the hesped was that he asked Akasha, they had a munah in every Maimah Chazal. They had the Dov Labarak and his father had a munah in every Maimah Chazal. So he was bothered with Akasha. The Gemara comments on the pasuk: "Es mispa yamecha amalei malamish akadosh baruch malush neisem shal tzadikim v'yom liyom." Tzadikim, they live out their years, and they die on the same day that they're born. Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar, and he died on Zayin Adar. I had a cousin who was born the first night of the Seder, the first Seder, and he died. He was younger than me, never. He died in his 60s. He died the first night of the Seder. Miyom liyom, he was stuck at Tzadik Chochma Tzadik. So he, in fact, Akasha, Rabbi Volozhin died a week after his birthday. So what happened? I was missed. So he says in the Hesped, the Gemara in Perik Chelik has a machlokes, and the last Perik on Sanhedrin, how old does the baby have to be that if he dies, it goes to Olam Haba? So one opinion is, the other goes Tzadik Shema Emunim, Shema Amen. When the baby is old enough to answer Amen, then he goes to Olam Haba. If he dies before he can say Amen, he doesn't go to Olam Haba. Then another opinion, I forgot them. The third opinion is, if he dies before the Bris Milah, then he doesn't go to Olam Haba. If he dies after the Bris Milah, he goes to Olam Haba. So Rav Dov Labarakeh assumes that the Iker is that it depends on the Bris Milah. So he says, Rav Chaim Volozhin died a week after his birthday. That's Miyom Liyom. He died on the same day that he had his Bris Milah. How come Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Adar? He says, because he's not Olam Haba. And he said this in Hesper, and he printed it. They believed in every Maimah Chazal. He took everything literally. So that was a kasha, and that was a teretz. We don't even appreciate what the kasha was. Yeah. They had a moon in every Maimah Chazal. Ibn Ezra has a comment on the pasuk by Yelachish min Beis Levi v'Yikach as Beis Levi. What does it mean? The Ramban quotes Ibn Ezra. He says that the girl lived in a different part of town, so he had to take her out on a date. So he went from one where he lived to where she lived to take her out on a date to meet the girl. So this is a very interesting interpretation. I think the Ramban is not happy about it. It's a very interesting interpretation that Ibn Ezra has. There's a famous comment from the Kedusha Salevi, from Levi Yitzchak Berditchever, who points out that the Chumash tells us how Yitzchak met his got his shidduch. Eliezer went and he brought Rivka back, and how Yankov Avinu made his shidduch, and Moshe Rabbeinu made his shidduch. Hakam doesn't say Avraham Avinu met his wife. So he says Avraham Avinu and Sarah, they were goyim, they had a New Year's Eve party, they had a dance. It's not worthy of being written and recorded in the Chumash. Chumash is not a biography of the Gedolim, it only tells the things that are Torahdik about them. So Yitzchak Shidduch was Torahdik, it was worthy of being incorporated in the Chumash. Yankov Shidduch and Moshe Rabbeinu Shidduch. Avraham Avinu was a Goy and a Goy. So they had a Christmas party and they danced at the Christmas party, they met each other. It's interesting, the Chumash records the dating of Amram and Yocheved, Ve'elachish Meislevi. The single people have to be careful when they date, the dates should be worthy of being recorded in the Chumash. It should be a Torahdik date, a Torahdik Shidduch, and should be worthy of being recorded in the Chumash. Miriam was waiting near the basket to see, to make sure that nothing happens to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Bas Para goes, and Miriam asked, "Hayalech v'karas alach yishem minekes min hu yivriyot." Should I go get a Jewish woman to nurse the day? What do you need a Jewish woman for? So the Medrash has the famous comment that they tried to have Noshim Mitzrios nurse the baby, and he wouldn't nurse by them. So she said, should I try to get a Jew? She obviously it's a Jewish baby, otherwise why would they put him in a basket? What are they afraid of? So should I get a Jewish mother? And that's what happened. So in Yerideya, there are more quotes from the Yerzeruah that if the Jewish mother is unable to nurse her baby and they have to get a non-Jewish woman to feed the baby, so they should try to see to it that the non-Jewish nursing mother shouldn't eat non-kosher food while she's nursing the baby. The milk apidin is the same, but it does have an effect what you eat. When the baby eats carrots, so the diaper is going to be orange. No, if the mother eats carrots, and the baby nursing the mother, the diaper is going to be orange. And if the mother had something else, red, it's going to be a red diaper. Everything has an effect on the milk. So the Medrash has the comment that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to nurse from the Noshim Mitzvah is because the eight macholos asuras and pesha also the daber mashchina. It's not right that he should nurse from the Noshim Mitzvahs because they eat macholos asuras. So it's interesting. The Ramah quotes this from the Urzeruah that when you have to get a non-Jewish woman to nurse the baby, you should try to see to it that they shouldn't eat non-kosher food. So Yaakov Kamenetsky has a comment on this Medrash. The Ramah quotes this l'halacha that we should try. Why? We're not allowed to cheat our children of any possibility. Maybe our child is going to turn out to be a novi. If you let the child nurse when the goyish mother, when she's eating non-kosher food, so he won't have a child won't have an opportunity to become a novi. He can become a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer. He can become a talmid chacham. Won't become a novi. Won't be a pesha of the mashkina. You're not allowed to cheat your child. The many possibilities you have to give the children such a thing that everything should be able to have everything. It's interesting. The Rav mentioned before that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Moshe Rabbeinu from the Sinai, he says, Moshe, Moshe. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner and the Nefesh HaChaim quote the passage from the Zohar where the Zohar says that in the middle of the story of the Akedos and the Malach calls up the name of Abraham, Abraham, and he carries on a conversation, so it says in the printed Chumash, there's a psik begaver, there's a bar. They say, there's no bar. The bar in the printed Chumash means supposed to pause a little bit. Abraham, Abraham, and same thing, Yaakov, 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 and he's going down to Mitzvah, Yaakov, Yaakov, there's a psik. Moshe, Moshe, there is no psik. Chaim Olozhin explains what the passage means in the Zohar, that the first time the name is mentioned, Abraham, Yaakov, and Moshe, is the potential that this person had in heaven. They have a file cabinet in heaven, b'shimcha yikarucha, b'shimcha yoshivucha, b'shalach yitaloch, that Yemar and Yuma. So every person has a potential what he can turn out to be. So Abraham, Abraham, the first Abraham is the potential of what he could have become, and the second Abraham who he really turned out to be. And there's a pause in between. He didn't fulfill his potential. He was a big tzaddik. He did not fulfill his potential. Yaakov, Yaakov also did not fulfill his potential. Moshe Rabbeinu gave over all of his kishvanis, all of his kachas, everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no psik begabe. There's no discrepancy between what he could have theoretically turned out to become and what he actually did become. That's what the Radak writes in the beginning of Yeshua. I think it says, Moshe Avdi Meis, what's an Eved? So the Radak says, an Eved Kanayin, not an Eved. Eved Kanayin didn't call Moshe Tan Eved Kanayin Rabbi. Moshe Rabbeinu gave everything over, all of his koichas, all of his kishvanis, he gave over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi and Chumash quotes on the pasuk, "Vayered Moshe min ha'or el ha'am, malam shelo pano la'asoka." Moshe Rabbeinu was all the time he was taking care of Tzorchei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He dedicated his whole life like an Eved Kanani. He gave over everything to Ribbono Shel Olam. He fulfilled his potential. So that's, we should all strive for that. We should all strive to fulfill our potential. Balatanya has, in the end of the state, he has Ageras HaTshuva. So he talks about two types of tshuva. So there's one type of tshuva, a person did Averis, and he has to stop doing Averis and do tshuva. Another tshuva, a person didn't fulfill his potential, he never did Averis. So he had such a fantastic potential, didn't fulfill it. That's also a tshuva. The person has to try to fulfill, every person has to try to fulfill his potential. That's what they say from, I think, one of the Chassidish Tzaddikim, the Rebbe Reb Zisha. He was a contemporary of the Bala Tanya, gave a haskam, I think, to the Tanya, the Rebbe Reb Zisha. So he said, when it comes to the other members, they won't hold him accountable. How come he didn't become great like Rebbe Kiva? How come he didn't become great like the Ramah? How come he didn't grow up to be the potential of Zisha? He could have become Zisha and he only became what he became. So that's a lesson for all of us. We have to try, even if we're big tzaddikim, we were redacting everything. If a person has a greater potential, he should strive to do that. Gemara quotes a Tosefta and Soita that the Mishpat of the Mitzriyim was the full Yud Beis Chodesh. From the beginning of the Esamachis to the end, the whole thing took Yud Beis Chodesh because that's the Mishpat or Amabel was also Yud Beis Chodesh, the whole punishment in the Amabel. That's the maximum that you punish a person. Mishpat Rishon B'Gehenim is Yud Beis Chodesh. The maximum that anybody... That's why the minig is the Yisrael quotes in Shilayim Vav, the end of the Yerodei, it quotes the whole simile about Yisrael and Kaddish. So the whole thing is based on a passage in the Zohar that one of the Rabbanim, one of the Zohar says, one of the Tanoim had a dream, and he saw someone was suffering in Gehenim. And he asked him, what can we do to save you from suffering Gehenim? So he said, have your children recite Kaddish, and that'll be paid to the person from Gehenim. So the minig is that you don't want to say the maximum someone can suffer Gehenim is only 12 months. So you don't want the children to say Kaddish for the full 12 months. That implies if their parents were such a shun that they're suffering the maximum. I don't think my parents both passed away. I don't think my parents are going to Gehenim at all. But everybody says Kaddish. I also said Kaddish. Okay, right, says Kaddish. So many of you only say Kaddish 11 months. You don't say 12 months. Unless if it's the child saying Kaddish. If it's a stranger, sometimes a person dies and you leave no children, so you ask a stranger to say Kaddish, then you should say 12 months. So let's say the parent who died was known to be a Russian. He was not religious. So then you should say Kaddish to 12 months. There were tzaddikim, great goyim tzaddikim, who passed away. They left instructions, they wanted their children Dafka to say Kaddish for a full 12 months. And there were such tzaddikim, they thought that they deserved the Mishpat B'Shem Gehenna, the Yud Bez Kaddish. I don't know what they pasken for them, whether they should listen to the Tzavos or not, but that's what it's based on. This idea that the maximum one can suffer in Gehenna is Yud Bez Kaddish. Some people, on the bottom of the page there in Yeruday, it's in the Shinai Vav, the similar about reciting Kaddish. So they quote, I think, from Abchaim Vital, that some people have a practice that they try to say Kaddish 8 times every day. What's that? It's 8 times a day. What's the gematria? So the passage in the Zohar says that when the child says Kaddish, he's paid to the parents for Gehenna, Shaita Upalga, an hour and a half. And there's another passage in the Zohar somewhere that the Rishayim only suffering had him 12 hours a day. So if you say Kaddish 8 times in a day, and 8 times you say Kaddish, you pray to the parents for an hour and a half. So all the 12 hours a day, they won't suffer in Gehenim. So Chaim Vital says that that's a joke, that's a misunderstanding. That Shaita Palga is not to be translated an hour and a half of Gehenim. Shaita Palga is a chamber in Gehenim, that's called Shaita Palga. So when the children recite Kaddish once a day, so they pray to their parents. You have to, people go so crazy about the saying, the Kaddish. When my parents passed away, I traveled often to Eretz Yisrael, so now I'm also, I was just in Eretz Yisrael, I came back. I didn't feel it necessary to make a minyan on the plane, and I didn't, I remember when I was a little boy, the Sefer came out to Nuas HaMusa. Beautiful set of all about the Muslim. So my father loved it so much, he encouraged me on a little boy, because I encouraged me I should be the Sefer. So I was very taken. Had a little influence on me. I didn't have, should have had more influence. Had a little influence on me. So I remember the stories that I saw Salanta and some of his Tambidin, they had the practice, like by the Yekis, only one person says Kaddish. You don't have everybody say Kaddish. Finally, that was the meaning all over the world. Only one person said Kaddish. And if you have a few people, have to say Kaddish. So there's a whole Chesmen and Shulchan Aruch who has the schus to say the Kaddish. So one time, apparently, there was an epidemic in Germany. Rabbi Kerege was a Yekke. He lived in Germany. Some circle was also a Yekke. He also was born in Frankfurt. He lived and brought up in Frankfurt. And he always signed all of his tshuvas. Meshach got to be Frankfurt. He was always proud of the fact that he was born and bred in Frankfurt. So there was not an epidemic, and there were so many people who had to say Kaddish, they would only have a chance once every 2 weeks or so. If they would alternate to say Kaddish, because they introduced the practice, everybody should say Kaddish in unison. So after the epidemic was over, there was a machlokes. What did Rabbi Kivega mean with the takana? Did he mean it as a hayrah? Sure. But now the epidemic is over, we should go back to the old practice, only one person should say Kaddish. No, he meant it kavua. So all the rabbanim who lived in Germany, they probably understood Rabbi Kivega better. He lived in Germany. So they all understood it was only Harasha, and you should only have one person say Kaddish. And the rest of the world, who were further away from Rabbi Kivega, they understood, no, Rabbi Kivega changed the meaning, and now everybody stayed together. So I remember when I was a little boy, my father said I should learn the Tumas HaMusa. So I read the stories of Rabbi Kivega, where Makban, only one person should say it, it's Talmidim, Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam, they all followed Rabbi Kivega, only one person said Kaddish, and on one occasion Rabbi Kivega had Yotzai. And there was someone else had Yahrzeit, and he couldn't daven for Hanukkah because the other person was davening. So he asked the other person, let me say one Kaddish, and you won't say Kaddish at all. The other person refused. The other person had to say 8 Kaddish in a day. So Reb Kivega, so Besos Alantas felt bad. So he said, usually the schus for his mother was his mother's yom. Usually he said the schus for his mother is that he says Kaddish. And today the schus for his mother is that he's not saying Kaddish. He gave over to the other one because the other one was reading the poem, not like this. That'll be the schus for the mother. You don't have to go crazy about reciting the Kaddish. We're not, our parents are not such rishoyim that they need all the kaddishim. We don't have to become neurotic over the reciting of the Kaddish. Moshe Rabbeinu is sent to give a nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, so he says, the Bnei Yisrael are not going to believe me. You only have to believe a person if he shows an osam mokus, that he's an ovi. The Gemara says, how did Yitzchak Avinu allow Avram to tie him up on the Akedah and to prepare to kill him? It's murder. How did he listen to him? The Gemara says, Avram Avinu was already an ovi muksuf, which had been established previously. As an ovi, he showed osam mokusim. If you don't show us this month, then maybe the fellow's a crackpot. I remember once in the yeshiva on the Shabbos morning, we all came downstairs to daven from the dormitory. We came down to daven shacharis and place nagash. So there was a strange boy there. He wasn't a student from the yeshiva. He looked like a crackpot. And he was putting on tefillin. So everybody was afraid to walk over to him. He looked like an yeshiva. So David Lipschitz came into place nagash. He walks over to the guy. And he says, Rabbi Lipschitz didn't speak English, and he spoke Ivris. He didn't speak Ivrit. So he said, Shabbos Hayom. Hayom Shabbos Lo Menichem Tfilin. So the guy understood Hebrew, but he didn't speak Hebrew. So he says, he had a nevuah that he knows it, Shabbos. He had a nevuah that that he should wear Tfilin anyway. So Rabbi Lipschitz asked him with a straight face, what language did you get in the book? So he says, in English. So he said, Atoto eh. The words that Tomid Baloshna Akkadish said, the Mishnah took off the tefillin. So we were stunned. It says in the Pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech, Vayech Kami Kol Adam, so there's a famous medrash, I don't think it exists, they say, Afilu Min HaShaitan. Shlomo HaMelech was so brilliant, he could even outsmart the Shaitan. You have to be a genius to know how to do it. Abnormal psychology to know how to convince a Mishnah that he's not a Novi. Double Dishes convince him. That was good. Anyway, so here, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to come to me, so they're not going to believe me that I have a nevuah. You're not supposed to believe it. A person comes here, says, a novi, maybe he's a crackpot. So he has to show osam moifis. So the Baruch Hashem gives him the osos. The first osos, the mata, turns into a nochesh, and it turns back, then he puts his head, and it becomes tzaras. Then it becomes back again, Meshav, the kipsorai, and then the third osos is that he's going to throw water on the ground, and the water is going to turn into dump. So there's a famous Tosfos Yontif on Mishnayos. I think it's in Peah, I don't remember, it's in Zroim somewhere. Tosfos Yontif said that some Chochom once asked him, how come we Jewish people keep on davening for rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, but the Navi Chagai, Chagas HaMelach, were the three prophets who lived at the beginning of the Baal Sheni period. So Chagai says, Godliya Kvod HaBayis HaZeho Achra Min HaRishon, this last Beis HaMikdash, the glory of this last Beis HaMikdash will outshine the glory of the first Beis HaMikdash. The Baruch Shalom, the Navi said, this is the Beis HaAchron. So why do we pray for a third Beis HaMikdash? The Navi said, that's it. So the Tosfos Yontif writes that he responded that in Biblical Hebrew, the word Rishon doesn't always mean first, and the word Achron doesn't always mean last. Like it says, Ach Bayam Rishon Tashbis Esor Mipotechem. So the Gemara says at the beginning of Pesach, you don't destroy the chametz on the first day Pesach, then you're violated by your by matzah if you wait into Pesach. So Yom Rishon means Erev Pesach, prior. Rishon means prior, sometimes the day before. And Achron doesn't always mean last, Achron means latter. So he brings two rayas, so he brings one raya from Yaakov Avinu, when at the beginning of Vayishlach. So Yaakov Avinu divides all of his family into three groups. So first he has the Bnei HaShvachos, then he has Rachel B'Yaladeh HaAchronim, and Leah B'Yaladeh HaAchronim. So it says Rachel B'Yaladeh HaAchronim, then it says Leah B'Yaladeh HaAchronim. So if HaAchronim means last, so what's Rachel B'Yaladeh HaAchronim? So HaAchronim means latter, after. And here also it says Mlei Aminu L'Kol HaRishon and Aminu L'Kol HaAsa HaAchronim. Then V'Mboi Aminu, V'Mboi Aminu, Gam L'Shnei HaAsa Eileh. What do you mean? It says, see, the Ois Achron does mean the last Ois. It means the latter Ois. That's what the Tosfos Yontif answer. So there's a famous comment that they attribute to the Rishon, Rabbi Yisrael Rishon of Siddush the Rebbe from generations ago, that there's a pasuk later that says when they brought the Pesach Mitzrayim, so they had to put the Dam al Avatim, how to put the Gazan on his back. Normally, he does Rikas Adam on his back. And here it is a Hira Shor that they do on Shtei Mezuzah as well. Amashkev says, Oy Adam Lachem Lios Ala Batim. So the Pashim Pshat is, Lo Yaba Amashkev Lingav, Lo Bel Betechem Lingav, the Amashkev shouldn't come in. So this, the region is said, Oy Adam Lachem Lios Ala Batim, and the Dama is the third ice. That'll be the Simon on the bottom of the Doshes. There will be a third Beis HaMikdash. Didn't even know Chagai Hanavi referred to the second Beis HaMikdash as Abai Sa'achron. It didn't mean that that's the list. Now there's going to be another Beis HaMikdash. The word Achron means ladder, because it says here, V'lai Aminu L'kol Ho'i Sa'achron. So then you show them the Dam. Ho'i Adam L'cham Yos Alabat. There's the famous comment from the Rishona. HaKadosh Baruch reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're going to ask me what's his name? So the Gemara says in the end of Shavuos, and it's quoted in the Rambam Hilchus Sefer Torah, quoted in Yerudei and Hilchus Sefer Torah, that the Hakadosh Baruch has Zayin Shem Shein Nimchot. There's seven names of Hakadosh Baruch Hu that it says in Chumash Dvarim when we come to Eretz Yisrael, we believe Tatzdam is Mizbechos and Mishibat is Matzivos, Masheret is a Fumleish of Sila Lehem Gadel. The Baratim Hashma Men Amokam Ahud, then it says Lo Sasin Kein Lo Shem Malakem. If you're not allowed to do any of the above. Noted seven men on Mizbech is over on Avera and Mochik is Hashem. The Baratim Hashma, Mochik is Hashem is over on Anissa. So the Shulchan Aruch talks, the Gemara talks about the Zayin Shem Shein Nimchot. There are seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're not allowed to erase. And one of them is Eker Ashereker. That's both, the first and the second, Eker Ashereker. The both shame is that you're not permitted to erase. Rashi quotes from the Medrash. What do you mean Eker Ashereker? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash. The interpretation is, I will be with the Jewish people now in this Golus Mitzrayim. I will lead them out. And I will be with them, Lossid Lavoi, they're going to be more Golias, I'm going to save them, I'm going to guide the Jewish people. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, give me a break. They're suffering enough now. Don't talk about the future. So Moshe said, Ibn Shalom says, you're right. Tell them, Ekesh Lachani Alechem. Don't say, Ekesh Lachani Alechem. But it was Nizgala to Moshe Rabbeinu on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim that there will be a Gula Hasidah. He was told now, Ekesh Lachani. So that's why on Pesach night, when we tell over the story about Yetzias Mitzrayim, we say, Nishmas Kachai Tevarach HaShimcha, the day will come when all of mankind will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's when the Rebbe Shlom will do the Gula Hasidah. He was told then by Yetzias Mitzrayim, there will be a Gula Hasidah. He didn't tell a message to the Yisrael, because they didn't want to hear it. They were suffering out. They didn't want to hear it. There's going to be more tzoros, more pogroms, and a Shoah and everything. But we were told already, so that's why on Pesach night, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and say, the day will come. And that's why before we say Nishmas Kochai, we say the Psukim before that. What do we say? Shvach HaMascha L'Agayim Shaloi Yidarucha. Why do we say that? That's an introduction. Because the Baruch Shalom is only going to bring the Gula Hasidah, full of mankind is going to recognize him. Nishmas Kochai, the Baruch HaShimcha. So we say to the Baruch Shalom, it's not fair because there's a miut of nationalities that don't want to recognize you, can still continue to insist on worshiping Abba Dezar. It's not fair. Wipe them off and it'll be all of mankind. We'll recognize you, so bring the Gula Hasidah ready. So that's why we mentioned Shvach HaMaschal Gama Shaloi Yedaucho, so you'll be able to bring the Gula Hasidah. The Meshech Chochmah has an interesting comment, Halacha L'maisa. He says a lot of people have the practice that they'll pronounce Eker Asher Eker the way it's written in the Chumash. He said that's Shaloi Kedin, you're not allowed to pronounce. You're not allowed to pronounce Aleph Dalet Nun Yud unnecessarily. You're not allowed to pronounce Shin Dalet Yud. You're not allowed to pronounce the Zion Shem. It's a machlek. Some Rishonim hold in every day, they quote it. Hilchos Sefer Torah. Some hold it's only also to pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei. And we as in Hogas Hashem Boisi Yosef doesn't only go on the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, it goes on all the Zion Shems. You're not allowed to pronounce it unless in the middle of a brocha, in the middle of a pasuk or something. So where did the people get this mistaken impression from that a lot of say Eker Asher Eker, this is from the other shameless people who are careful. They don't say Shindalim, they don't pronounce it correct. Say Shiddai or Shakai, don't pronounce it the correct way. It's much Yishem Shemayim Elatola. So he says, because there's a passage in the Beis Yosef has a sefer what the Malach told him. What's called? Magid Meshar? Magid Meshar. He stayed up on Shavuos night. He was learning with Rav Shlomo Alkavitz. They were learning, I think, Kabbalah. I think before he came to Eretz Yisrael, he still lived in Europe, before he arrived to Eretz Yisrael. And all of a sudden, middle of the learning, he lost his voice. And a different voice came out from his throat. And that was a malach representing the Mishnah. He had a magid representing the Torah Shabbat Peh. There were other tzaddikim in the same generation who also had a magid, but they had the magid of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So I don't understand why that's considered a lower level. If it seriously had a magid of the Mishnah, the Torah Shabbat Peh, they're just a higher level. I don't understand what this is all about. So he had a magid who would take over his voice, and the voice came out from his throat. It wasn't him speaking, and every day he would write down notes what he heard from the magid Mishnah. So sometimes Magid says Yashikach, he gave a good shot to the Raman, the Kes Mishnah. Sometimes he would tell him Kabon, sometimes he would disagree, but he wrote the Kes Mishnah that day. So the Magid gave him a whole explanation why you're permitted to pronounce Eker Asher Eker. So the Meshach Chochmah said that's a misunderstanding of what the Magid said. The Magid was bothered with the Kash, it should be like Yudke Vodke. That when the Bakari Lane's Priya Sattar, he doesn't pronounce it at all. He says Aleph Dalet Nun Yud instead of Yudke Vodke. But Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, you're not allowed to pronounce unnecessarily unless you're saying a bracha, you're saying a pasuk. So Eker Asher Eker, the Havamina by the Magid was that it should be a higher level like Yudke Vodke. The Maskana was no, some Kabbalistic reason. It's the same as the other, Shem Hashem and Chokim. But to mention it unnecessarily is improper. That's talking, we assume that that's included in Hoges Hashem Be'Osi Yosef, that you're not allowed to. The Gemara has the comment on the pasuk when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says his name to Moshe Rabbeinu. It says Zeshmi Le'olam Zezichu L'Dor Dor. So the word Le'olam is Chosevov, and one of the Midrash HaTam the Rosh Hashem is that we try to figure out how come a word is sometimes spelled Chosev, sometimes spelled Mole. Yesterday I was giving a shiur about Kedoshim Tiyu Kikodesh Ani Hashem Elokeicha. So Kedoshim Ti was Chosevav, and Kedosh Ani is Molevav. So the Sikra has a comment. Why the discrepancy? The Gemara in Ksubis has a comment on Nairo. Nairo is sometimes spelled Chumash Nunai in Reish, and sometimes spelled Nunai in Reish. So the Gemara has a comment. Nairo with a Hey means Nairo Mole. And so it doesn't include Ktan. And Nairo Chosen, Nunai in Reish, that's pronounced Nairo, includes a Ktan also. Ktana is a incomplete Nairo. The Gemara has halachas that are based on it. You have a lot of drushes in the Gemara that are clear, and the Farshim says based on the fact that, like, he's a tohar al atomi. The Gemara says that a tefil yom can do maisa paradum. How do you know? Because it says, he's a tohar al atomi, tohar koldehu. Where did he see tohar koldehu? So the Farshim said, because the word he's a tohar is spelled with aravav, so it means an incomplete tohar. He's only a tefil yom, he's not fully tohar. Not Torah for Biel HaMikdash yet. So here also, the Pasuk is Eshmi Le'olam, but it's spelled Chosavot. So the Torah Shabbat Peh reads it, an additional level of interpretation. The Peshutu Shal Mikra is certainly correct, but in addition to that, there's an additional level of interpretation, Zeshmi Laha'alim, that even one who knows the Shem Yud Kegopke, whatever the correct pronunciation is, in Tesis Yantan HaMishnah, I assume it quotes different opinion. What is the correct pronunciation of Yitzhak for the Kangola on Yom Kippur, said the Kirsava? So what is the Kirsava? He has three different suggestions, what the Nikud is supposed to be. But it's supposed to be La'alim. You're not supposed to publicize it. So in the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara lines up in the Pasuk B'chol Mokom Asher Asker Shmei Ove Alecha Ve'ach Ticha. In the Beis HaMikdash, you pronounce the Shem Yud Kei Vavke. If you say Sha'akal when you eat the Besar HaKorbanis, you don't say Shem Yud Kei Vavke. Sha'akal is not a bracha that's miyuchad for the Beis HaMikdash. But when you duchen, the duchening in the Beis HaMikdash is a special mitzvah. Duchening at the conclusion of HaKrovas HaKorbanis Tzibur. So when they duchen, those who knew how to pronounce the Shem HaParish said, it became God like Yom Kippur says, Hashem Chatos. Or he says, the Shem Hashem. As if when we say, Rakan Ram Hamde Basar, Torah Shtaf Mad, we heard the Shem HaParish. If they Hashem to Torah, he says, Shem Hashem three times. On Hashem Chatu Abba Pashu, on Hashem Kapanon, so on. So in the Beis HaMikdash, if it's the Kiyam Beis HaMikdash, that's not, he's saying, Bar Nekoshis Asher Yotzah. He's saying Hashem, Hashem, there has to be, that's miyuchat for the Beis HaMikdash, then he's supposed to pronounce it Yud Kei Vav Kei Kich Savoy, but they should try to be malin it. So the Gemara says that when the Kohanim would be duchening in the Beis HaMikdash, those who didn't know the Shem HaMikdash would be singing a nigin and drowning out the sound from those who were pronouncing it, so the Tzibur didn't really hear what the correct pronunciation is. Yeah, some say that we have a minute today that when the chazan says the duchni yivarecha Hashem yishmachon, so the kohanim sing a whole niggun in the dinner. Where did the niggun come from? What do you need a niggun for? In order to say the tefillah for the chalaimah, so the Mishnah Berurah is not happy about that. You should say the tefillah for the chalaimah later, he says. Mor says if you had a chalaim ra, you should say the tefillah for the chalaim. It's in connection with the duchni. It doesn't say you say it from the psukim. Mishnah Berurah is not happy because it's shokah the ligma skula. So you shouldn't say in the middle, you should say it again. So where does it come from, the whole idea to have the good? So they say it's a carryover from the days of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, Zashmir Rabban, La'alim, that the Kohanim who didn't know the Shema Farish used to sing a niggun to drown out the voices of those who did know so that Tzibur would not know what the Shema Farish is. There's an interesting pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Ba'ered lahatziloi." He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "What do you mean, ba'ered lahatziloi?" So Rishik has in one of his drushes, it's a yerida, it's a chisus hakavika. The Rebbeinu Shalom that you should break the rules of nature, that you should make a nes migla. Chok nasim alayaber. I think it's a pasuk that appears three times in Torah. Rebbeinu Shalom made chukei ateva. And he himself doesn't want to violate Chukei HaTeva, so it's a yerida for him. So he says, "Ba'ered lahatzilo, I'm going to have to violate my own normal shita. I don't want to break the Chukei HaTeva. I have no choice." So the Medrash gives a mashal l'kayin, a funny mashal, that the truma rolled into a Beis HaKvaris, but somehow the truma didn't become tummy. Truma rolled into the Beis HaKvaris. So the Kohen is going to go be metame himself in order to save his truma. So funny language. So the Baruch Shalom is going to do a Yerida. He's going to go to Mitzrayim and make Nisim Gluyim in order to save Bnei Yisrael. What don't you do? Go to Pikuach Nefesh to save the Jewish people. The Eirid Lahatzila. Some Talmud Chacham from Eretz told me he once visited America and he heard a drasha from Yom Soloveitchik. I'll close with this, a very interesting comment on the Pasuk. That by reading Mitzrayim is Bnei Yisrael b'forech. What does it mean b'forech? So the Medrash says that they made the women do hard work that's only fit for men, and it was backbreaking work. The women weren't used to that, and then they made the men do work that was fit for women. So what's b'forech over there? So it's another rabbi. So you have an easy problem. Instead, they're also eventually giving a drasha to the Balabatim. I'm sure they used to give the shiur for Balabatim every Tuesday night, and then and easy for brachas for many years, Megillah, Titus, easy gemaras. And then at the end of the drasha, he'd always give a drasha on last week's seder. He didn't want to stay on next week's seder. He said, then all the rabbanim in New York would say the same drasha. So they wrote it till next year. Next year, all the rabbanim said the same drasha. But the Rabbanim said last year. That was a foursome. So he says he was once told by the shiur Rabbanim. He said, if a person has koichas to learn gemara with taisus, with rishayna, and he just does Gemara Drashe and he does a flimsy job, that's also parah. If you don't live up to your potential, you have kishrinus to learn well. A man has talent to do Avodas Gevarim and he does Avodas Noshim, that's also called the parah. That's not normal. Shirol HaBatzlocher, Shirol HaBrocher, you should learn up the storm. Not everybody's going to become a rabbi or a mechanech, but everybody has the obligation to learn Torah, whether you go into rabbanus or chinuch, or you become doctors or lawyers, Indian chiefs, whatever you want to become, whatever you do for a living. I know in New York there are doctors and lawyers who are bigger talmid chachamim than the rabbis and the yeshiva, just they don't have the personality to become a rabbi, but they know how to learn. Everybody has an obligation to learn. It's not only when you're students and you have to learn. You have to be students for the rest of your life. You have to learn Torah. You have to make sure you kaveitim la Torah. You have to learn, and those who organize and those who continue to support the Beis Medrash program should all be blessed. They should see Hatzlo. They should see Broche. They should have Nachas Mora Tamidim. Thank you.
Get it up and marry in a moment.